All right, let's go to the Dude Maker, the StreamYard hotline, and introduce Andy Shechtman, who is one of the co-founders of Miles Franklin. Miles Franklin is a precious metals company, but they don't just do precious metals. Andy is one of the smartest guys out there when it comes to talking about this stuff. I had a preliminary conversation with Andy about 3 weeks ago, and I looked at my clock, I looked at my watch, and I went, this man's been talking for 25 minutes. And he wasn't even finished explaining BRICS. And I said, Andy, dude, when we go on air, you got to give it to me in 15-minute pieces so we can get to all of it. So we're very excited to have Andy with us. Andy, good morning. How are you?
Great to be here, Mike. Thanks for having me. I'm well, thank you.
Absolutely. Let me start by, just because our listeners are new and they don't really know you, let me ask you the question of how you and your dad came about founding Miles Franklin.
On a wing and a prayer, I guess you could say. It's been 34 years ago. My father was in the precious metals industry prior to us starting the company. But our real focus at the time was bringing Swiss investments to the public, as he was speaking in Zurich and was approached by a couple of businessmen in Switzerland who wanted to bring the concept of Swiss investments, Swiss annuities, Swiss gold storage, Swiss banking to the American public. This would have been in 1989. And we quickly realized, in essence, that the same person who bought Swiss francs bought precious metals. And well, the rest is history, I guess. Starting a business in a one-room office the size of a closet and are almost at $10 billion in sales. Somehow, God bless, we are the epitome of the American dream, and I pinch myself every day wondering how the heck we got here.
$9 billion in sales, that's a lot of sales. That's almost like a government.
$9 billion in sales. It's amazing sometimes when I look back upon the trajectory, but somehow we had strong fingertips. We're able to hang on through the lean times. And I think part of making it and being successful is just being there, hanging on long enough to be there when the tide turns in your favor.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Same in the radio business. Okay, we just played a soundbite from The Usual Suspects at MSNBC, and the woman was going on to blame that when men succeed, they want to give themselves credit, but when inflation comes along, they want to blame government. I'm going like, because it's government's fault. It's government's fault. Government does it. Can you back me up on this?
Well, you know, people don't understand how big numbers really are. Let's just first quantify. A trillion seconds ago, Mike, was 31,688 years ago. You're talking Neanderthals stalking the plains of Europe a trillion seconds ago. We're running a $1 trillion deficit every 100 days right now. We are borrowing $1 trillion every 100 days. And you know, our money supply over the last 4 years has increased roughly more in the last 4 years than in the entire history of the United States prior to it. And when you look at what happened just between the end of 2023 or end of 2022 to the end of 2023, our debt grew from roughly, let's call it $32 trillion to $34.5 trillion, somewhere in that neighborhood. Did that in the span of 1 year, and it took us roughly 230 years to do it the first time. And inflation, period, is an increase in the money supply. Rising prices are a symptom of inflation. Inflation is an increase or inflating the money supply.
Right, right.
And so indeed, inflation is 100% a cause of the monetary and irresponsible fiscal policy of the government and the Federal Reserve.
So there's nothing I can't inflate the currency. You know, if I lived in a closed system in a little town and we had something called specie going around and I was in charge of it, hey, Joe, can you make me another couple hundred specie? Just don't tell anyone. Once the specie gets into circulation, though, all bets are off. And so, yes, the government is responsible for this. Now, Andy, if they did it, can they undo it?
Well, they can try and shrink the money supply, and you've been seeing that that's another form of quantitative tightening by trying to pull the money out of the system. But in essence, they added so much money into the system that it's going to be very difficult to pull it out. And not to mention, you know, everyone talks about the $34 trillion debt, Mike, but what about Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security and the $77 trillion underfunding in Social Security, not to mention government military pensions, who's going to ever pay for those? How do you pay for those? And when you talk about just that fact alone, which, you know, there's no way that we're ever going to be able to pay for these unfunded guarantees, these liabilities that we've promised to the American public largely, without inflating, without continuing to print money into the system. But yeah, no, I think that inflation is here to stay. I think that while the Federal Reserve would certainly like to do something about inflation and bring it down, I think they realize that the byproduct of trying to bring it down would be by tightening the system and raising rates high enough where the entire system breaks, because everything in this country that makes people feel wealthy, stocks, bonds, real estate, not to mention the fragile banking system and the insurance companies, they're all inversely correlated to a spike in interest rates. And so, you know, you're kind of at that crossroads of you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. You raise rates high enough to slow down the system and to try and quell inflation like Paul Volcker did in 1980, raising rates to almost 18.75%. In order to do that, you raise rates that high, you blow up the entire system. And that's the byproduct of suppressing interest rates for 15 years and making money easy. You created distortions and anomalies in asset prices, misallocations in resource and capital. And these asset prices that are all so high abnormally based upon all those, that environment of low interest rates and easy money, if you try and reverse that, there's going to be an awful lot of pain that you will see reverberate through the entire system. So I think they've chosen the way that all politicians have for years, centuries, going back to Roman times when they clipped the edges of coins. By the way, that's why you have ridges on the coins. They've chosen inflation over austerity, over the tough decisions, because that will help them get reelected and certainly won't allow the system to blow up right in our faces. And I think inflation is here to stay. Better get used to it.
All right. I have a question, and Andy Schechtman of Miles Franklin here on the Mike Church Show on the Crusade Radio Network today. I have a question, a follow-up. Let's pretend that for a moment you are advising, you get hired by Don John of Mar-a-Lago as his Paul Volcker or his David Stockman. He brings you in and says, Andy, I want you to be in charge of, help me with monetary policy. Andy, we have to figure out a way. We have a beautiful country. It's beautiful. But the money, I don't know. Biden screwed it up so much. What can we do? The economy must grow, Andy. What should I do?
Well, the only thing that they can start to do is to rein in spending. That's number one. We're a country that's addicted to spending. And when you spend all of this money where you're borrowing, you know, in essence, almost $2 trillion per year just to fund your spending addiction, you know, that's where it has to start, period. If we were to, like, if you go back to 2019, we took in more tax revenue last year than we did. Well, last year we took in roughly $1.5 trillion short of what our spending was. But if you go back to 2019, the amount of tax revenues we took in would have not only covered the debt, but it would have paid or the deficit, but would have paid down the debt by about $500 billion. The real issue is we're a country addicted to spending. We've given, I don't know, over $100 billion to the Ukraine as an example, and we're borrowing money in order to do that. You just have to make the very difficult decisions. And this is why politicians have a very difficult time with it, because they make promises, try to get them reelected, and they end up creating an environment where they throw caution to the wind. And if you don't just start reining in all forms of spending, make the difficult choices, start to cut entitlements, then you end up in a situation where we are right now of never-ending deficits and a debt that is spiraling out of control and growing at a pace of $1 trillion every 100 days. That's just unsustainable. It all centers around cutting spending and reining things in and making the difficult choices that probably are pretty unpopular by the populace, but we are bankrupting our future generations, our children and our grandchildren. We'll have to pay the bar tab at some point.
Now, here's the deal with this, folks. Mike Churchill on the Crusade Radio Network with Andy Schechtman of Miles Franklin. Here's the thing about this. The Canadians had a similar situation by 1992 or so, and they elected a guy named Stephen Harper. And they did that. They did an austerity program. And they were actually able to get out of the problem that they had found themselves in. Now, theirs was about one millionth the size of ours. It is true. So all things are not considered or not equal, and all things are not the same here. So my point is that it is possible. But again, if you're not going to do the funding, if you're not going to do the spending, then none of this is going to happen. So I think that that's a valid point. And I don't know that anyone that's out there that is talking about an austerity program, but we sure as hell should get to it. Now, I want to talk about another threat here, though, because there's something else that's looming out there that no one's talking about, and that is this thing called BRICS, B-R-I-C-S. What do people, first of all, what is BRICS?
It's been my main topic for almost 4 years. I've done almost 4,000 podcasts on this over the last almost 4.5 years. And I believe it is the most important thing people need to understand. Well, first of all, BRICS is the acronym for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. It is a growing coalition of countries around the world that are pushing back against the Western hegemony. And this last year, they just introduced 5 more countries, and that would be Saudi Arabia, the linchpin of the dollar hegemony, Iran, Egypt, Ethiopia, and the United Arab Emirates. This is a very, very big deal. This is a very, very big deal when we are seeing literally the majority of human population being coalesced into a group pushing back against the suppression of the or the coercion, if you will, of the West, the sanctioning of the SWIFT system, if you will. And it's a growing coalition where 35 countries have now formed, 35 more countries have formally applied to the BRICS as we speak. It is, in essence, I think, the biggest threat to the United States, because when I ask people, Mike, what makes the dollar the world reserve currency, so many people really have no idea. But it centers around, in essence, the protection of the Saudi kingdom and our deal that we struck 50 years ago, where we will protect the Saudi kingdom and, by extension, OPEC, and they will value oil in dollars. Now, the fact that we have signed an executive order to go green, and the fact that we have weaponized the dollar against Russia, and now have our Treasury Secretary flying around the world saying that we should not just sanction Russian funds, but we need to confiscate those funds and use them in an effort to fund the Ukrainian war and to rebuild the Ukraine, and crossing a line that no one in the Southern Hemisphere will ever trust us again. But when you realize that Saudi Arabia, the linchpin of the dollar hegemony, not only has joined the BRICS, but has joined the Shanghai Cooperation Organization, which is the largest regional financial and military organization on the planet, has joined the BRICS New Development Bank, and has told the world at the Davos meetings that they're open to taking other currencies for oil. We have crossed that line. And when you look at all of the countries that are now joining the BRICS, you have the majority of human population. You have the majority of global GDP. You have 2 of the 3 largest nuclear arsenals on the planet. You have the majority of all the strategic shipping lanes throughout the world. This is something that should not be taken lightly. In fact, I believe over the next year or two, it will be the biggest development that this country has ever seen. As the world looks to take other currencies or other payment systems for oil, all it would take would be for Saudi Arabia to stand up on stage with the rest of its OPEC brothers and sisters, many of which have already applied to or are in the BRICS, all of whom are on the Chinese Belt, Road, and Rail Initiative, which is very, very closely tied into the BRICS. Every OPEC country is there. And just simply make the statement, listen, we thank you for all the 50 years of protection. We really do. It's been great. But listen, you guys signed an executive order to go green. You have been weaponizing the dollar against two of the BRICS members as is, in Iran and Russia. And we don't align ideologically. And just like the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia just said, he said China is our most important trading partner this year and for the next 50. Well, that's a very scary admission, and those words were chosen carefully. It's been 50 years almost to the day that we signed the petrodollar deal. But when they make that statement, when they say, listen, we're no longer taking dollars for oil, we're going to take the new BRIC settlement currency, which we know will be pegged to something, and we believe it will be gold, which is the only other tier one reserve asset in the world as reclassified by the Bank of International Settlements. When they make that statement, and every single country on the planet who's had to stockpile dollars for the last 50 years in order to buy oil has no need to hold them anymore. It is the nuclear moment. It is the moment when those dollars get dumped and flow across the Atlantic Ocean and hit our shores, which is the beginning of hyperinflation. Now, this is the moment where the Federal Reserve, and you have to wonder, was this something that was intended? Because this is the moment where the Federal Reserve right now has two choices, Mike. They can inflate or they can default. But what about a third choice? And that third choice is to find a villain. Those sons of you know what, they did this to us and they dumped the dollar because, you know, well, after all, we did sign an executive order to go green because we don't need energy via fossil fuels anymore. And we can go around the world and weaponize the dollar and, in fact, confiscate your reserves if we don't align ideologically. Well, boom, when that happens and every country on the planet no longer has to hold dollars and we get hit with hyperinflation, the byproduct of that is interest rates that spike to compensate for the loss in purchasing power of a hyperinflated currency. When that happens, stocks, bonds, real estate, the banking system, the insurance companies, and the dollar all collapse simultaneously, and you now have a villain to point to.
Yes.
And I don't think that that's being grandiose at all. I really don't, Mike, and I think it's a big threat that ultimately is on the table.
Well, I think it is a big threat that is on the table. It may have been teed up to be on the table. Andy, could you refresh your video page real quick so that, because we lost your video connection. We've got the audio.
Yeah, let me try. Hopefully I don't lose you
here.
Hold on.
Yeah, okay. Mike Churchill here on the Crusade Radio Network here on a Wednesday. Call in line, telephone number 844-527-8723. Some of you have all heard all this before. Some of you have heard some of this before. You have heard that they're going to do this and they're going to do that and they're going to do this and going to do that. What if some of the things that are being done by the Biden regime to agitate Vladimir Putin and the Russians, what if they were done intentionally not for the purpose of war or for enriching their war buddies and the military-industrial complex? What if they were done to bring about the crash event that you just heard Andy describe? And if they were done to do that, and let's just pretend for a moment that they actually get away with this. Now, there is, I don't know if you've seen this, file footage out there. You could see this. There's file footage. It's everywhere. Of Vladimir Putin going to Saudi Arabia and shaking the hand of the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia doesn't like to shake hands. This is something that the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia doesn't do as a matter of course here. Why is Putin cozying up then to the Saudis? Why have the CHICOMs been cozying up to the Saudis? Well, you can see what's going on here. And this is this thing that has been running in the background called BRICS, B-R-I-C-S. You know, when you hear that the dollar is the reserve currency of the world, everyone assumes that that stays forever. To me, when you hear people droning on endlessly about, you know, America must be the leader in the world, we must have strong leadership, America's got to be strong at the table. The only thing that you benefit now, currently, from America being strong at the table is America being strong at a table that has the dollar as the reserve currency. Now, when you think about it like that, and you think about it, you just heard these harlots on OMSNBC droning on endlessly that we produced more oil during the Biden regime than ever has been produced. That's just not true, but I wish it were. I wish it were. Because the United States needs to be a net, if the U.S. is a net exporter of oil, then all sorts of things happen, and maybe the dollar is reserved as a reserve currency. All right, we are on the line with Andy Shechtman of Miles Franklin, and I wanted him to explain what was going on with the BRICS, and I think he gave us a pretty good explanation. If you have any questions, pop them into the chat room at crusadechannel.com/chat.